want to say I appreciate Brother Hicks being willing to work with us. And certainly I know Brother Jonathan, I'm glad you're here, Brother. Everything worked out. I want to try to get into our lesson tonight, and had a lot of good thoughts. And tonight I hope to be able to bring a lot of this out. I want to try to look in our scripture lesson tonight is in Matthew in the 7th chapter, titled The Two Ways. And our scripture lesson tonight and starts in the 13th verse. Do pray for us tonight. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in through it. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I want to stop there for a moment. And excuse me, I'll read a definition here. It seems like in these two ways that you could say we're somewhat presented with a choice, if you will, to choose. And the definition, Webster defines that definition as the act of choosing, the voluntary act of selecting or separating from two or more things which is preferred, or the determination of the mind of preferring one thing to another. To grasp this understanding of choice, we must go back to the beginning. God made man and instructed him. And when we look at these things, throughout the scripture, I believe oftentimes you can see that man was created to be a free moral agent. That he has the opportunity, we're not what you'd say programmed, to serve God. But we have the choice within ourselves what we're going to choose to do. And here it is, Jesus made a statement, and he said, "Enter ye at the straight gate." And he goes on to describe these two gates. And the two gates that he offers up is the straight gate and the wide gate. But he gives us instruction to choose the straight. Now, to get this understanding of choice, like I said, I believe we must go back, and I want to go to Genesis in the 2nd chapter in the 15th verse. And I guess I should have laid the outlines out. My apology. Anyway, we'll get them to you later. Genesis 2 and 15. And it says, "The Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And he said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Adam, God had commanded him, gave him a commandment, and only one commandment. But in this, we can look, and there were three trees that was mentioned there in the garden. We can find that basically it was mentioned about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and also it was mentioned that they had took fig leaves and sold them about as a covering for themselves, so we know there was a fig tree there in the garden. But even in all of the trees, the Lord said, you know, of any other tree in the garden you may eat of the fruit, but he said of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, or at least you shall surely die. And he had a choice, if you will. But we know here that Satan come upon the scene, and no doubt God had given Adam his helpmate. And after he had given him his helpmate, Satan come upon the scene. And he's a liar. We know he's crafty. And the Bible teaches us in John in 8 and 44 says, For he is a liar and the father of it. And Satan tempted Eve, and she did eat, and gave also to Adam. Now, I want to make this statement. Adam had a choice. He could choose. But yet, he went ahead and give in to sin, if you will. He gave in to what was alluring to him, and so did a lot of times. I know we put a lot of pressure on Eve, but Adam was the one that was given the commandment, and yet he was supposed to you know, give the understanding there to his wife, to Eve, to his helpmate. He had a responsibility. So yet he had a choice. He could choose. But yet he gave in to that sin and that temptation. Now Jesus says here, he said, enter in at the straight gate. I don't believe that there's any pause in that. I don't believe there's any hesitation in what Jesus says. There's no stand around and ponder about this gate or decide the dimensions of the gate or, you know, is this gate really alluring to you? But he says, enter in at the straight gate. And he says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So man is truly presented with two gates. Like we said before, he says, Jesus instructs us to enter the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Man has oftentimes been presented with many different choices throughout the Scripture. The Bible teaches us, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve the world? And I want to say this. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Certainly, God had told Adam, he said, if every tree of the garden you shall surely eat, but as soon as you eat of this one tree I've commanded you not to eat of, he said, surely you shall surely die. Now, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. There's things that we think are the right way. There's a way that seems right unto us, but yet it is the way of death. God's way is much different than the way that we think. God's ways is higher than our ways. His understanding, his direction, the things that he would have us to do is far beyond a lot of times our comprehension. He says, the word straight means narrow. When we look at that word, a narrow gate, which means to be obstacles standing in our way. Being a child of God and choosing what you'd say the straight gate is not always going to be an easy road. It's not going to be the most alluring path that you could say. Oftentimes, it's the hard way. When it talks about the straight gate means narrow, an obstacle standing close about, this gate is not so easily entered. It is oftentimes hard. The obstacles are brought on by our pride, lust, and idols, and things of the flesh. For we think we know the right way, but certainly they will only lead to death. Judges 21 and 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Certainly, like I said before, when I look back and reflect on the things that have been taught on the Sermon on the Mount, and I know we've got some more lessons that are coming about, but no doubt Jesus is trying to teach his disciples in the way that they should go. Certainly, he's trying to help build their confidence, but he's also wanting them to see that there is a difference in following him and following the world. Amen. And certainly, when he looks at these gates, he said, enter the straight gate. He said, this gate is going to be hard, and it's going to have obstacles that's going to stand in your way. It's not going to be the easy path, but yet we know, he says, for broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. He says in Matthew 5 and 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. When I was thinking about in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Folks, I really feel like that's the day and time in the society that we live in now. We live in a day and time where folks want to do what they think is right in their own eyes. I want to do this. This is appealing to me. I want to do that. I think this will get me a better outcome. If I was to do this, how is this going to advance me down the road? And yet, but Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 and 29, he says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If something is standing in your way, if what looks appealing to you is standing in your way, move it out of the way. And folks, I just want to be honest with you. That's hard. I think a lot of times that's easier than said and done. Being a child of God and being a Christian is not an easy road. At least it's not for me. Sometimes we've got to do things and go in a direction that God would have us to go that we didn't, see out in front of us. Only God knows the direction that we're going. But certainly, I want you to know tonight, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. I know that's harder than said and done a lot of times. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Keep in mind that there are two ways. There's a wrong way and there's a right way. There's a good way and there's a bad way. There's a way to heaven and there's a way to hell. And certainly tonight, I believe in all of my heart, all of us are traveling in one of those two ways. You're either on the road to heaven or you're on the road to hell. There's no middle road there. There's no in between, what you'd say. Jesus didn't offer a middle gate. He didn't offer a different way. He said either you're going to enter the straight gate or the wide gate. He said these are the two options that you have. You're going to have to pick and choose between the two. And certainly, I want to make it very clear that Jesus wants us, like he said, to enter the straight gate. I want to say that as we look at this gate, that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in through it. This broad way, this wide gate, there's plenty of room there. I don't believe it's ever going to get filled up. The world continues, it seems like, to get more and more wicked. I think things have changed a lot even since I was young. The world continues to be wicked. And just as Brother Moran taught last weekend, it's our responsibility to let our light shine, to point people towards the straight gate. Now, this wide gate that we're presented with, Isaiah 5 and 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Certainly, there is all kinds of room on this wide gate. It just continues to keep enlarging itself. Now, I want you to know, like I said before, I believe in my heart there is two options to choose for. We're either walking through the straight gate, through the gate that Jesus wants us to enter in, or you're walking in the way of the world. Certainly, he says we are to make preparations for ourselves and be ready. But too many choose the way of destruction. Jesus tells us what gate to enter, the straight and narrow gate, for it is the way. Jesus tells us in John 10 and 9, I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go out and find pasture. I know he said, I am the door. But I want to say this, that a door and a gate, both through both which you gain access. That's what they're there for. When you enter a gate, you gain access. When you enter a door, you gain access. And Jesus said, I am the door. And if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go out and find pasture. I want to say this, that if you enter that straight gate, no more, once again, once you enter it, you've entered the straight gate. I don't believe that. I'll say this, and I don't want to get too far off my lesson, but I'm not saying that there aren't, hiccups and bumps along the way. But I'll say that certainly that once you enter the straight gate, I believe you've entered it one time. That's it. Just as Jesus said, I am the door. When you've entered in through that door, you've entered it one time. You've only got to go through it one time. Well, he said, enter the gate. He said, in Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Oftentimes I think about this straight gate. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The thing about being a Christian and entering in through this gate is we must enter it in by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're trusting in the promises of God and what He has laid out through His beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So we're leaning and trusting in His Word and what He taught His disciples. And what He taught was all of these great things that we're learning. But yet He said, enter in the straight gate. Trust me and enter in. When we are called out to walk by faith and not by sight, we certainly do not know what lies ahead of us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know the future of tomorrow. We don't know what's coming. But certainly I want you to know that God knows what's coming. When we think about faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the essence of what it takes to enter in the straight gate. For we must trust in Him who is asking us to enter in. And that's what we're trying to teach lost people. Certainly tonight, a large majority of us, I'd say, is born again. A large majority of us here, I'd say a lot of us are. And we're still trusting in Jesus' promise. But certainly we're trying to teach lost people and trying to point them to enter in at the straight gate. Choose Jesus. Look unto God. Choose Him. Certainly, they're going to have to walk by faith. Faith is not something tonight that I believe that we can just muster up on our own. I don't believe that I can muster up enough faith on my own to move mountains. But I certainly believe that God is the one who has to help us. He's the one that's helping us. I want to say this. The straight gate is a hard way. Oftentimes, we want to know what's laid out in front of us. His disciples that He was speaking to, do you think a large majority of them understood that sometime later on, that they would become martyrs? That they would have to lay their lives down? Probably not. But yet He asked us to enter in. Jesus tells us in John 14:1, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus told them over there, I'm just going to paraphrase some of this. 14:1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He was telling them that He was going away to prepare them a place. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And He was preparing them. And on through the way, Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the way. Certainly tonight when I think about that, I tell you, in all these aspects of life, you may say, well, how do I know which way is the straight gate? How do I know which way I need to enter? How do I know which way I need to go? When you choose Jesus, you'll know which way to go. How do we know that we're choosing Jesus? I said it here a couple of weeks ago. This is a heart work. This is what this is all about. It's a heart work. With the heart, man believeth upon righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made. It's all about the heart. God directs our heart, and He allows us to know how we're serving Him, what we're doing, how He's leading us, how He's directing us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we think about the way, it's all about Jesus. Jesus said you can't have both gates. You can't have the straight gate. You can't have the wide gate all at the same time. You're going to have to choose one. It's either this or it's that. He also said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You can't have both. A lot of times in our day and life, as Christians, we want to try to fit both into our life. I want to enter the straight gate each and every time that I can, but yet I still want to hang on to the things of the world. Because it's comfortable. Because it's alluring to me. Because just as Adam looked over there and he seen that fruit, just as Eve was tempted, I'm still the same way. I still look at everything else out in the world and it still looks appealing to me. I don't like getting in a place to where I'm uncomfortable. But yet I want you to know when we get in that uncomfortable position, when we get to where we lean and trust on God, that's when God can do something with us. The Lord asks us to truly surrender to Him. We can't have both gates. Psalms 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His work are done in truth. He didn't just tell us when we entered the straight gate that was done. But yet He left us with instruction. He left us with a roadmap. He left us with something that is going to help us on our travels. I wasn't going to mention this before, but I'm going to say this. When I was growing up, there was over in Westmoreland, there was an old hotel over there called the Epperson Springs Hotel. And it had long time burned down. And some of you may have heard of it. Pretty prestige, pretty place, you know, back years ago. And I guess it's a big thing to history with, I think, Andrew Jackson had stayed there a few times or something. But anyway, a feller I knowed owned a farm over in that part of the country. And he owned the farm that the old buggy road belonged to, that Epperson Springs Hotel. And it was on that road. And I remember being intrigued, getting out on his farm whenever I'd go over there. We'd hunt and things. And one time we was out walking and I said, what's that old road there? He said, that's the old buggy road that went back to the old Epperson Springs Hotel. Now this hotel was huge. In its heyday. It had been burned down a long time. The interesting thing about this old path was it was probably over 120 or 30 years old. I sat there studying on that thing. Now, it had old saplings and trees growed up through it. But what was amazing about it was as you looked out, you could still see the old buggy trail. You could see the trail as it wound up and went around the hill. And what it was years and years of these buggies going to this old hotel had wore out a path. And up on the sides where these old wheels and things would go up through this path, It's just the ditches was real deep, you know. And I sat back and studied that, and I thought, you know how amazing. 100-something years has gone by, and there that old trail still is. The amazing thing, the point I guess I'm trying to say, what I think about that buggy trail is, when we enter in through the straight gate, and God has set us on a path towards heaven, we're not walking a path that's not been walked before. There have been others that have walked by faith. There have been others before us that have went before us, that have established the way. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes our path becomes obstructed and things get in our way. But just as I thought about that old buggy trail, it wouldn't take much to get that thing back in shape. A man get in there and put in a few days' worth of work, he could clear that old path out and it'd be usable again. And sometimes, in our walk with God, that's what we have to do. Our path becomes obstructed, and things get in our way. Things that we allow to get in our way. And we have to be willing to get in and cut it out, clear it out. Look unto God in the way that He would have us to go. But I want to say this, that I'm certainly thankful that there are those that have come before me and help lay the way out for me. Certainly God is pointing us in the way that we need to go. But there sure has been a lot of good brothers and sisters that's come before us and laid the way. They certainly can't save us, but they can point us towards Him. And that's the same thing that we're trying to do tonight, is point them towards Jesus. He says, His Word can direct us in every aspect of our life. He can direct our paths. Jeremiah 6 and 16 says, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and seek, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. He said, To stand ye in the ways and to ask for the old paths. I've heard that preached on a lot. Suppose what the old paths are. To me, the old paths is Jesus Christ. For He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He is the old paths. He is the path. And who's who we're looking to? He said, stand ye. Oftentimes we get on this track that we're on and we enter in through this gate. And like I said before, we find all of these things that are alluring to us, that are trying to grab our attention. Oftentimes this wide gate looks very promising. Now I'll say this, like I said, once we enter in through this straight gate, I believe we've entered. But the things of the world and the things of the flesh still get on us. Satan still has a way that he's able to tempt us. He has a way that he says, boy, I can't have his soul. But I want to get him in such a shape that I can't use him. Maybe it's different for y'all, but that's how it is for me. He says, I can't have his soul. But I want to get him so tore up about this and about that that I take his mind and his focus off the path that he is on. And if he's able to do that just for a little while, boy, that tickles him to death. He wants our focus. But Jeremiah says, stand ye in the way. When the things of the world get upon us, I don't believe that we need to just take an unnecessary step just because we feel like we need to. But he says, stand there. And he said, seek. Seek who? God. Ask for his direction. And he says, and wherein, he says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. See, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. Jesus said, I am the way. Certainly, He is the good way. We know the Bible teaches us there's none other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. To me, Jesus Christ is still the best name out there. I don't know for sure. I've heard some people say it's probably the most Googled name out there. I don't know. But I'm thrilled if it is. It seems like we spend our time Googling everything else. Jesus is the way, and He is the good way. In my opinion, there's no other way. I've tried other ways. I've tried. I told you before, there are seems like a lot of times our way gets obscured with things of the world. And folks, I have been in that position before. It seems like maybe in my life I've took a detour or two. But I'll say this. I'm thankful when I took a detour or two, He always seems to get my attention. And I've never been so far out left field or right field that I couldn't make it right back on the path that He needed me to be on. That's the thing about being a child of God. When we step out of line, certainly God can get a hold of us. And I'm thankful that He does. Certainly, you may ask, how is it that we find this straight and narrow way? I believe that Matthew 7:7 says it best. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I don't know of anybody that's ever found a straight gate on their own. I believe God has directed us. I believe God has to show it to us. And when He shows it to us, when we ask for it, Lord, help me, direct me, show me which way You'd have me to go, God will show us. Now, I know tonight it seems like I've been talking an awful lot about choosing which path. But certainly I want you to know that it is important as God's people that we choose the straight gate. And once we have chosen the straight gate, we must continue to walk in the straight gate. When we think about these two options, I'm reminded of the prodigal son. And just to paraphrase, it says he took all, in Luke 15 says, and he took all his inheritance and went into a far country, and he wasted his substance with rigorous living. And he had spent all he had, and there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And when he came to himself, when he realized the condition that he was in, he said, well, how many of my hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oftentimes, I'll just be honest with you, and y'all are getting to know me, I guess. When I think of the prodigal son, I can relate to him. That prodigal son, he'd went out and he'd wallowed around in the mud with the swine. He'd been out covered in the filth of the world. And I've preached that sermon in both ways. I've preached it to lost people and I've preached it to saved people because I think it applies in both aspects. Lost people need to see themselves for what they are. They stand in a need. But just as the prodigal son, he took all his inheritance, he'd went into a far country, and he'd spent all he had. And he said, why do I sit here? Why do I sit here? When my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare. Now, I don't know about any of you all, but I've been out in the world before. I've been covered with the filth of the world. Maybe y'all don't like hearing that, but I'm just going to be honest with you. And I've thought the same thing. Boy, why am I making it so hard on myself? God's way ain't always the easy way, but boy, it's a good way. I may not ever know what tomorrow holds, but I'm thankful I know who holds tomorrow. And I've been out and I've been covered with the things of the filth of the world. And I've thought to myself, boy, why do I sit here when Jesus is telling me, just like he tells lost people, to come? You realize he wants the same thing from us, to come to him, to surrender? He wants every aspect of us. He wants every ounce of us. He wants a relationship with us. And y'all may say, well, preacher, maybe I don't know if I'm trying to teach or preach. Y'all, I'm doing the best I can here. Pray for me. But what I'll say is this. As this prodigal son sits here and he had seen himself for the shape that he was in, and he said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father. And the most wonderful thing about it all was, it says that his father seen him from afar off, a great far off. And when he seen him, he started running towards him. And when he had got to him, he fell upon him and kissed him. Now, folks, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced that before, but I have. I know what it's like to have been out in the world and wallowed around and tried different things and done different things, but yet God has been there saying, come to me, get the things of the world out of your way, and put me first, and then see what happens in your life. When we put God first in our life, things will be good. It may not go exactly as we plan it to go, but God will be there helping to lead us and direct us. He said that he went there, and what I love about that is his father seen him from a great far off. The Lord knows, certainly, I certainly don't believe that any child of God that's been saved and been born again is going to get too far away from the path. He goes on to tell us here in the rest of this scripture, he talks about, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Certainly tonight I want you to know a child of God should beware. Satan has a counterfeit plan. And what I think is so amazing about his counterfeit plan, he's such a liar and he's such a counterfeiter and he's so deceiving and so cunning. The wide gate that's offered looks so alluring. Well, there's plenty of room here. There's no restriction. I've got plenty of room to enter in this wide gate. There's plenty to offer. There's plenty of people walking there in it. I can go on and I can do what I want to do and there's nobody going to tell me anything different. Satan wants to offer that to the world. But it's our responsibility as God's people to point people toward the straight gate. Am I out of time? Bro, I know what y'all are talking about this clock. I've sit here and went over. Y'all should have said, hush, brother. I'm going to be done. All right. He talks about, I'll be done just here in a minute. Let me finish up. He talks about being aware of wolves in sheep's clothing, that every tree bringeth forth good fruit. And he says, mostly to hear his words and to do them. He says, to build our house upon a rock. Jesus is that rock. When we enter in through that straight gate, he's put us on a solid path. No matter the things of the world that comes our way, we're on that path. And I don't know about you, but I've got means to go to that place. I've got means to be there. I want to be in heaven. And I'm certainly thankful that the Lord helped us find a straight gate. I had another part of that, but I'm going to leave it off because I'm done. So, anyway. That's our lesson. Take a 10-minute intercession. Bless your heart. I'm finished. Y'all probably. Anyway. Bless your heart for listening.